Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
King David writes in Psalm 103, "I will set no vile thing before my eyes." The NLT reads, "I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar." The NIV says, "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile." And the New King James Version reads, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." So the question for us today is, how do we guard our eyes? Job writes in Job chapter 31, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman." Now, many of you are thinking, well, yeah, that's easier said than done. Well, that may be true, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible either. So where do we start with our eyes? Just like everything else, there must be a plan to break this evil habit. There has to be some type of training involved. In other words, there must be a new, godly, Holy Spirit-filled discipline that's created to break old fleshly habits. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, well, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about the things that please the Spirit." So letting your sinful nature control your mind, well, that leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, it leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Well, today we continue our conversation with author and pastor Dion Thomas from the King's Sanctuary in Kingston, Jamaica. He has a new devotional workbook. It's called 21 Days to Sexual Purity, a biblical devotional for overcoming sexual temptations. And on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, the joy of our devotional time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the opportunities for confession. And number three, why men choose to hit rock bottom before asking for help. Today's show is titled, "The Silver Bullet to Sexual Integrity." My story is very, very much the opposite to my own shame, Dion, from your story. And that is, I was a pornography and sex addict for 20 years of my life. And wow. And by God's grace, you know, it's going on 14 or 15 years now of being sexually sober. And the question that I get is, Dustin, if you got one thing to share with me, what's the one, you know, everybody wants a silver bullet, you know, everybody wants a silver bullet, but it's like the silver bullet is this. It's the spending time with the Lord God Almighty. It's this, and it's not, yes, it's not legalistic to me. It is a discipline,
yes,
that I willfully and joyfully, I can't wait to get up in the morning. I can't wait to spend an hour or two with Him. Because when you, right, when you listen and when you read His word, you hear His voice, you know, and it's just,
yes,
and,
yes,
and I think when people hear, oh, you know, you got to read the Bible more, people do tend that, oh, you guys are pastors and that's what you're supposed to say. And, you know, it's not, it's, you fall in, when you fall in love with Jesus, man, all this sexual,
right,
sin stuff,
right,
along with the rest of your life, it just falls off you like Teflon, doesn't it? And
yes, yes,
I loved hearing your heart there, because it's not legalism. This is a godly discipline that when we do have,
yes,
God's word in our mind, it's in our heart.
Yes.
And then here, mm-hmm, we go. How about when it's in our heart, How do we then guard our eyes as men? We're very visual, and the world is screaming sex at us 24/7. How do we then guard our eyes when we have the Word of God in us, Dion?
Yes. I really appreciate what you just said. It's very encouraging, number one, before you even answer the question. It's so encouraging to hear another brother in Christ, you know, just with that strong encouragement in God's Word. It's very encouraging to me to hear you say that. But how do we guard our eyes as God's Word comes in, you know? You know, again, there's another verse that really speaks to the beauty of, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. You know, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. I think there are some things that we will happen to see. This is in the book. There are some things that we will happen to see, and we have no control over that. We happen to see something. But we have control over, after we see, do I continue to look, or do I turn from it? You know, 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, you know, train yourself to be godly. It is a training. It is a training of turning our eyes away from information that's not healthy. Turn our eyes, whether you are single or married, you know, and I think it's an important thing for those who are listening who are single, that you train your eyes, especially the men, that we train our eyes to turn away from things, from even attractive, that you might be in a relationship, or you might be, you know, not just train your eyes to look and look and continue looking on an attractive person. It's a continue or looking on attractive body parts. It's a training of one's eyes, so that when you get married, you have that training. You have consistently been training yourself. So when you get married, it is, yes, I have been training myself before. So it is to look. So you happen to see attractive people with attractive features, attractive figures, you know, and that's not wrong, that's not sin. But I know what will happen if I continue to look. If I train my mind to keep looking and to keep admiring, it moves from a look, like what happened with David when he saw Bathsheba. He happened to see Bathsheba bathing.
Yeah.
Nothing was wrong. He happened to see her. But his glance became a libidinous leer. He started to look with lust, with intent, and it led him to want to meet her. It led him to commit an adultery. And so it is that way. Again, I think one of the things is, and I'm going to come right back to this point of accountability, of, you know, speaking to friends, I think it's so important to have a godly friend in our lives. You know, and we don't wait until sin becomes extremely sinful before you begin to start to expose and to say to somebody, pray for me. I've been finding this tendency. I remember a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, he's my best friend. He said to me, boy, Dale, I've been finding myself with a wandering eye. He's married to a wonderful girl. And, you know, he said he's finding himself with a wandering eye. And he was saying that to pray for me in this area. He confessed it to his wife as well. At some time, he would say, boy, I'm going to do this until I never do it again. And he started to confess to his wife every time that he would have a wandering moment. And, boy, he has not been having any of those moments. And this is a couple of years now that he has said, boy, he has seen a mighty improvement in his life.
Cool.
Because before, in his single years, yes, he was training himself just to look and look and look. And he found that it was affecting his union. And, you know, he confessed it while it was a look. I think about David's story, and I said, boy, you know, suppose David had confessed that he saw a beautiful woman bathing and just confessed that I desired to continue looking. But suppose he had confessed it right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, but the enemy says, no. That's too bad. That's people going to look on your phone if you confess that. But suppose he had confessed when he said, who is that woman? When he asked his messengers, who is that woman? And when they said, it's Uriah as well. Suppose he had confessed right there. You know, I saw her and I actually want to know who she was, and I even asked who she was. Suppose David had confessed right there. But the enemy probably said, no, man, I will look bad. It's embarrassing. You've been looking at a peeping Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she came to him and he asked her, you know, who is she? And he spoke with her. Suppose he had confessed that I even met her. It would have looked bad. But if you look at the end of the story, David ended up sleeping her, ended up committing adultery, ended up murdering her husband. That's when David confessed it. But if David had confessed at the point when he saw her and found her attractive, it would have... Yeah, he probably would have felt funny, but it would not have been so messy. And I think that's the beauty about learning from that particular fault, David, that even when you find it's a slight sin, it's a small sin, you still confess it right there. You don't wait until it gets, my eyes are out of control. I can't, you confess it right there when it seems as if no big deal, but it is a big deal. It's wrong. So you confess it right there. And that's why I think we need that godly friend that we can say, you know, I find myself kind of looking at some things I shouldn't be looking at, or I find myself in this particular context sometimes. Don't wait until it gets embarrassing. You confess it when it's young.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Dion. It really is, because most of us men especially, because we're so hard-headed, it's almost like we have to hit rock bottom before we, before the Lord gets our attention and he's standing on our necks and he's, he's got our arm behind us and he's saying, okay, are you going to cry uncle at this point? And we don't have to hit rock bottom. And if you are listening and you've hit rock bottom, then quit digging. You don't have to quit digging, confess your sin, just like Pastor Dion said. And it's amazing what God does with that. Pastor Dion mentioned how confessing smaller sins, sins that we consider insignificant, how that prevents us from hitting rock bottom. And he used King David and a woman named Bathsheba as an example. You can read this story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. As you read this text, and as Pastor Dion pointed out, King David had a minimum of 4 times to confess his smaller sins of lust. Now think about this. If he would have humbled himself and confessed his lust, wouldn't that be the end of it? I think that's a solid possibility. But as you read the story, we see what happens, don't we? Sexual sin grows, and it manifests itself in many, many different ways. And by the time this whole thing is done, this whole ordeal is done, David kills Bathsheba's husband, the baby is dead, and the entire nation of Israel is never the same. The Apostle James writes this in James chapter 1. Then the lust, when it has conceived, it bears sin. And the sin, when it's fully grown, produces death. Yes, indeed, my friend, a critical key to understanding, walking in sexual integrity and pursuing sexual sobriety is confessing sin early and confessing sin often. No matter how silly, how insignificant you may think it is. And by the way, no sin is trivial. Well, tomorrow we continue our conversation with pastor and author Dion Thomas and his devotional book, 21 Days to Sexual Purity. And we're going to be talking about how to flee from sexual sin. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. Do you have a question or comments about today's episode? If you do, you can join the conversation at dustindaniels.org. You can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And you can rate this show or share the episode with a friend, a pastor, your priest, your minister, your spouse, your children. What about your grandchildren? Man, do they need to hear this stuff or what? Well, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend. Not in perfection. No, I'm not talking about that. Worthy. Honorable. Upright. With your head high. With your eyes glistening. As your body, as your life just reflects the grace of Almighty God. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.